stand together. Opportunity, saints, to come out. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's truly a wonderful day. Lord, every day we have, we can come. Lord, hear you call us to gather together and be able to come. Lord, it's your grace and your mercy. Praying, Father, that you would just bless each and every one that's gathered, those that are listening. Lord, may your will be done in every life. Father, as your word comes forth tonight, Lord, may we be crying out for your word, for understanding and revelation. Lord, that we may manifest that, showing you that we love you. We love you, Father. Pray that you bless the new song that you laid on my heart tonight. Lord, clear our hearts and our minds, settle our spirits, so we'll be ready to hear from you. Ask this, Lord, in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like to sing in our only bleed books tonight. Amen. Page 170. Where could I go? Where could we go, saints? Wicked age.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Driving along to face temptation's sore, where could I go?
Build your hopes on faith.
what a day that will be. Amen.
What a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
Special on your heart or something you like to sing. Hey, you haven't done a song tonight?
Solo.
All right, let's all stand, then we'll sing Old Chorus Only Bleed. Ask our brother to come.
Only be.
Father, we count it a great honor and a privilege, Lord, to be here this evening, and so thankful for the desire, Lord, that's drawn us each one here. Lord, as we gather around your word to have you speak to us, Lord, as it may be my lips that reads the words, Lord, or brings it back to our minds, but Father, it is your word and it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, if we'll but just dwell upon each one of these things, Lord, and continue to meditate upon word, Lord, and to humble ourselves underneath the Holy Spirit, Lord, and let you do a greater work in our hearts,
Father, we'll be a people that's more pleasing to you in everything we do and say. Father, we just pray that you'll take these words and bless them to our hearts, Lord, that and bless our hearts to the receiving, that through it all, Lord, something would be said to strengthen and encourage your little lambs along life's way. And we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. Thankful for an opportunity to come. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles back over to Romans, the 12th chapter. We read this last Sunday evening, I believe. And we'll read it again and then just kind of take a little thought along kind of the same lines as we think about these things. Just so thankful for what God is doing for each one of us and praying each one of us is seeing that place of a closer walk with Him. And, you know, it's we're in that time to where it's an individual affair and we each one got to make sure that it's not just a claim, but we got to see Jesus Christ identified in each one of us. But in Romans 12, and we'll just read that first and second verse. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Just a wonderful scripture when you think about the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for each one of us and how he was our example and he gave of himself freely and went to that cross and paid the price for each one of us, that today we could sit here underneath that shed blood and see the mercy and the grace that was shown to us, realizing where he took our place and where we should have been, but by his grace he took our place. And all we ask is that we give our bodies back to him as a living sacrifice, and how it ought to be our sole desire today to live for him. And you know, as oftentimes we, when we think about that, we may get into just thinking, well, that's, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I pay my offerings, I'm living for him. But he demands so much more of you and me. He wants all of you, all of me. We're here for his glory, and we're here to be his mouths, his hands, his eyes in this day and age. We may not be ministers, we may not be song leaders, we may not even have a position so that we have to do something in the church. But every day of your life, you have to be a living testimony, a written epistle, read of all men. And then with that thought, I'd like to just refresh our minds to some things that Jesus spoke. First, and then I got some quotes I'd like to read, but if you want to turn with me, I'm going to go to Luke 6. All of this will be very familiar. You've heard it many times, but it never should never get old to us as we just refresh our minds to the things that's been spoken. But in Luke 6, and we'll start here at the 27th verse. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, lend and hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Amen. And it's a simple scripture, but when you look at the age in which we're living, people have got to the place where it's only about them. They can't see nobody else. They can't think of anybody else. They go through every day for what they can gain, gather, and build upon themselves. And it's the nature of the world and the nature of the time we're in. And you see that taking place. And the thoughts that, you know, it used to be sharing and caring for one another was a little more evident. It was evident people had a little more sympathy and empathy for others. And how we've seen that dwindle away. And how this age, you know, and you just look at the world in whole, even in the politics of this land, it's become such a hateful thing from one side to the other, and how it has bled into the people. And it, you know, maybe you don't get an opportunity to see that as much as maybe some others do when you get out and mingle with different groups and different people and see things. But it's causing a hatred, and it's causing such a, just such a turmoil. But we're a people that's had an opportunity and been given by God's grace to shine a light forth unto others, that can truly have an opportunity to see the things that Christ said would be done, placed here, and to see it manifested back through our lives. And you know, when you think about that, we'll turn over to, Jesus put it like this. Well, let's turn over to Romans, the 10th chapter, or the 12th chapter, rather, back where we were. And let's read what Paul said at the end of Romans here. And I just want you to think about our everyday living, our everyday lives as we're traveling through this land. We all have jobs. We're all going to work. We're all dealing with people. We're handling all kinds of situations every day. And that's where this life has got to be manifest. That's where what I claim to believe has to be evident. And it's not what I can say, but it's what this life will bear forth. Jesus didn't have to go around telling people who he was. He didn't have to go around beating his chest, but they could see the life he was living, and they could tell by the actions that he had, he was drawing everyone's attention. Because it was so different. He was so out of the normal of what everyone else was doing. And look at his life, as even as he was talking about, bless them that curse you and despitefully use you. Look at the examples in the scriptures of where they mocked him and scoffed him and was trying to belittle him and make fun of him. And yet he never riled back at him. He never opened his mouth. But his example lived out before them in everything they done. And here in Romans, down about the 10th verse, we'll pick back up in Romans 12. And Paul is speaking. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer and distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And be of the same mind one towards another, and mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits, but recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as we stop to think about just the simplicity of these words, how much do we truly go through our life looking at the impact maybe we're making on somebody else's life? And it may, I'm just not always about lending money or giving money or doing, but Jesus, you know, Brother Branham said Jesus lived his life for others, and we'll read it here in just a moment. But I want you to think about that, and as Brother Branham expressed it, do we ever stop and just look back down through our life? And we can definitely look and see what God has done for us. But do we ever take the time to stop and say, what have I done for him? If tomorrow's my last day on earth, can I look back over my life and truly say, I've done this for the Lord and I've done that for the Lord. I gave up of myself here for this, or maybe I did this over here for his benefit, for his glory. Did we ever just stop and look back over our life, and can I see where I can truly say, yes, I've sacrificed of myself and I've give up to please the Lord and to let him have his way? And because his whole thing was to have the preeminence of a body of people over those believers. They would be his written epistles, as I said, and we are his hands, his eyes. But do we get so busy in life and so busy with where we're going and what we need to achieve? You know, it never fails to amaze me anymore. The minute you 18-year-olds get a job, everybody's trying to teach them how to plan for retirement right out of the gate. And it's push, you need this and you need that and you need to plan this and you got to plan that. And that's wonderful. We should make sure that things are taken care of. But that becomes the ultimate goal, is to gain and together so that you can live in a life of luxury when you reach to this retirement age, if you should live that long. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in this same routine, that I'm a human being, I live in America, and I'm going through life, and I'm going to go to work today, and I'm going to gain, I'm going to put this much in savings, I'm going to put this much in the bank, and I'm going to keep this, and never stop to think about what's going on around me, so to speak, or to where God could use. And like I said, I'm not just meaning money. It's anything. It could be someone's needing prayer. Can you truly look to where the Holy Spirit moved onto your heart, and you can truly see where maybe you spent an hour in prayer for someone because God moved on your heart for that thing? Living for others, thinking about it just a little bit, and we'll read some of what Brother Branham said here in this, that day on Calvary. We'll just read this as he starts here. This was preached September 25th, 1960. And just to catch what he was saying, but then I want you to think about something. He's going to mention a couple other scriptures. This paragraph 83. Look at what that day on Calvary did to you. It paid your price and it settled the question. Your sins be as scarlet, they're as white as snow, red like crimson, white like wool. And then you have no sin and you're perfectly sinless. No matter what you've done or what you do, you're still sinless as long as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your sins are forgiven. Anything is forgiven, is remitted and forgot about. Then what does it do? It gives you, after that condition, his Spirit to follow him and to do as he did for others who is following on. He was just one man, the perfect man, and he gave his life and he made an example for you. Now what must we do? The first thing I wanted to say is, Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you have an eternal life. Eternal life is living for others, and it proved it when it came in the Lamb of God. He lived in the eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day, and you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. And someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man. You become sons, and the trouble of it is the church has forgot they were sons, and you're a son. You're taking Christ's place. You're a son, so don't live for yourself. Live for others. And you say, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he sure is a nice man. That's not it. And if you ever listen to this on the tape, Brother Branham really screams out these next verses. He says, live for that man who hates you and live for the person who would kill you if they could. That's what they done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. And when that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven then. But you sacrifice your own things and give them up like the sheep gives up its wool when you look on towards Calvary. And I hope this helps you get to the place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, is to find out what you are and what's the purpose. The church isn't going to church just to play music and sing songs. Church is a place where correction and judgment begins at the house of God. And we must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ, that he made the way that we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. And if we follow him, we lead that life that he lived, and that's wonderful. And you know, when you stop to think about that and put into perspective, live for that man that hates you. Have you ever stopped to think how many times we may have that opportunity? Maybe someone truly cheated us in a business deal. And I have the right to really raise up in myself and to get angry. He cheated me and really go to town and working on him with a backlashing and maybe just really telling him what he is and where he's went. But what if that was done for a purpose, to test you, to see that, let give you an opportunity for that life to live and manifest back out to that person, because maybe that was one of God's chosen elect. You never know. See, we get so set that sometimes in the normal routine of business and things that's taking place around us, whether it be at work or whether we be at home or whether we be in the grocery store, we sometimes forget that God allows people to cross your paths for a reason. You don't know, I don't know. And as I said the last time, so we get so set in our mind of what we think getting someone to church looks like, what witnessing to someone looks like. But it's not what you can say. As Brother Smith always quotes the gentleman that he does, that's used that term, preach always, use words when necessary. And how, as we see this coming forth, can I truly look back and see where maybe somewhere, we don't know what the full outcome of it may be, but can I truly see where I've not just been living to myself, but I've been thinking more on the things of others than the things of myself? This is the life that Jesus lived. That's the life that's got to be expressed back through us in every action, along with every other word in this Bible. But sometimes we get so focused on our own needs, our own wants. You know, you can see it, you go to the grocery store, maybe somebody needed a bottle of ketchup and it's the last one there. Do you think they're going to offer to give that up? No, they're going to get it because they needed it. That's the attitude that people have. It's, I need this, I have a need, I need you to do this for me, I need. And never stopping to think, well, maybe they had a greater need. Maybe somebody else has something a little more, but sometimes it's easy for us to become selfish and kind of begin to think of ourselves before others. And I thought I had printed it and brought it with me, the quote where Brother Branham said, God's first, your family comes second, and you're always last. And how do we truly meditate on these things and think about in our everyday living of giving ourselves up and living for those around me. I'm living for Jesus Christ. That's who my ultimate life is too. I'm here for His glory, for His purpose, but it's to reflect and let His life show forth to those around me. And are they seeing that? Or they truly see that I'm self-centered and it's all about me? Because it definitely will show up when we're in that manner and when we think that way. And how evident it is. But as I said, we come across all these situations and sometimes we don't stop to think. You know, you just look at the experiences Jesus had back in the scriptures. Look at the experiences Paul had with the jailer. He's put in prison. And then the Holy Spirit loosens the doors and sets them free. They could have walked out of there and said, oh, let that guy kill himself. Who cares what he's going to do? But no, Paul said, do yourself no harm. Look at where his thoughts was. Look where he was focused to. It wasn't about, he didn't care if they were going to lock the door back up again. But his focus was on doing the will of God that had sent him. The same is evident through all of these scriptures. And sometimes I wonder if we don't just forget just a little bit that we're Christians 24/7, not just on Sundays. And that's the thing that is we look back at the scriptures, we look at Jesus' life, we can look at Paul, and then we can look at our prophet in this last day and look at his life and look at to see that example. They were here for a purpose and to see that finished in their life more than anything else. It didn't matter about everyday living. But listen, as Brother Branham said, he ties this in with this as he was going. He says, I hope this helps you to get to that place. And he said, let me drop down. He says, let me make sure. Yeah, he says, we must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. He made the way we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. And if we follow him, we lead the life that he lived. And that's wonderful. Jesus said and spoke of it. Let me give you a few quotations on it, and listen close and don't miss it. Jesus said at that day he would separate people like sheep and goats, and he would say to the goats, stand on the left side, and to the sheep, stand on the right side. And he said to the goats, depart from me, because I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you did not visit me. I was naked, you clothed me not. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was sick, and you didn't visit me. So depart from me. And to the sheep he said, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you ministered to me. And Brother Branham says, notice, don't fail to get this, church, and keep this in your heart forever. It was unconsciously done. The people don't do it for a line of duty. A man that gives you something or another because he ought to do it, a man that feeds you because he ought to do it, he's got a selfish idea. It should be your very life, your very action. It was so surprising to these sheep that they said, Lord, when were you hungry? He says to the sheep, they said, Lord, when were you hungry? And we fed you. And when were you naked? And we gave you clothes. And when were you thirsty? And we gave you drink. When were you sick? And we ministered to you. It was so automatically out of love. Your life lived in them. God let the people see what Calvary did for us so automatically. When we were you, Lord, we never knew that. Look what Jesus turned and said, inasmuch as you've done unto these, you did it unto me. An unselfish life, not the second thought, not to think about it, but you're so dead to the things of this world and so alive in Christ, so walking on the highway that these things are just an automatic thing. You just do it. Not saying, well, now, Lord, would you? Lord, you want me to do that? It's not that. You're just part of him, and his spirit is in you, and you act the way he acted. Do you get it? Amen. And how simple to think about. It's an automatic life, and our pastor has brought many wonderful messages to show that it's automatic. The Holy Spirit, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's an automatic life. You don't have to pump it. You don't have to prime it. You don't have to work and force and try to push it. But as I can today, just renew your minds to a little bit of this life that was lived that we must be expressing today. An automatic situation in everything we do. In every situation we face, and we face a lot of situations in a day's time. And can we look back at the end of the day when we lay our head on the pillow at night? Do we stop and take stock of what I've done this day? Who got the glory from the things that were done? Does my life show forth today that I lived a life that was Christ-like? And you know, it just makes you stop and think a little bit. To think of all these that's been written, and how Brother Branham said if time would continue on, this little bride, they'd be able to write another book of Acts behind it. And do you stop to think about that, and you go back and read the book of Acts and see what God did, where do we measure up as individuals before God? And this isn't about doing something so someone else sees it and say, oh, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to donate money over here and let somebody know I donated that so they'll see. I'm not talking about that. It's an automatic life, something that's so unconsciously done every day, every action declaring Christ. And this was in Let Your Light So Shine Before Men, preached in 61. And Brother Branham was talking about that. He says, let me back up and read this first. This was in Revelations chapter part 1, 60, June 11, 61. He says, paragraph 16. He said, he was talking with Dr. Sam Adair, I believe was the gentleman's name. He says, but all these years, about 31 years of ministry now, I have kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes. So it doesn't matter when he comes. He said, that is true. I said, the greatest thrill I have is living for others. And he said, that's what life is. It makes life real, is when not what you can accomplish for yourself, but what you can do for others. See, that's when you're really living. And if there happens to be someone among us who has never did that, tried to live for somebody else, give that a try and just see how much more life holds for you. When you will not live for what you can get yourself out of life, but what you can give someone else in life. And you'll find that it's more blessed than riches, or anything that can be thought of, is what you can do for someone else to make life's burdens, which life itself is a burden, and when it makes a little lighter for someone else. You just don't know the joy unless you've tried it once to do something for someone else. And then that brings me to thinking of the 31 years of my ministry for the Lord, and I guess every man thinks of some time when he has come to his last service, come to his last hours, and looks back down the path, and see what has been accomplished, see what's went on, have you did anything? And I've just said, it's what you do for others that counts. And do we ever just stop and take stock? You know, it's it's so much, so busy. Life is busy. We got things to do. We've got places that we have to be and things we've got to get done. And it's just a constant turmoil. It never stops. And it seems like the old clock hands just keep a rolling and never give you a break anymore. And it just seems like it's faster and faster. Monday to Monday just seems like it's so quick. The week's gone. The weekend's gone. Sunday came and went. And it's over. And you're just right at it again, the whole thing. And when you stop to look where we are and the opportunities we've been given, are we truly getting caught up in this rat race and totally just we're missing that we're here for a purpose? As Jesus, even at the age of 12, I must be about my Father's business. He had a purpose and a goal in life that he was sent for. He had recognized that, and he was there to do that. And as it truly sank in that we've got a job to do, and it's not to, you know, it's so easy just to get, I'm going to church, you should come to church. It's a life. As Brother Branham said many times, we get people to church, but we're not getting them to Christ. And it's because oftentimes we're not living the life of Christ. We just got them to come to the church we attend. And we need to get them to see that there is something inside living out that's a true life lived, not just another church, just not another claim, but see something different, something that's real that will draw and hold their attention. Brother Branham, he put it like this in Let Your Light So Shine Before Man. This was preached at number 361 in paragraph 98. And you've all read this before, I'm sure, but it's just kind of striking to listen at again. He says, we know that the day we're living in, it pays to advertise. And we find out these people who are making big progress in business are great men of advertisement. And they put it on television, they smear it on boards and everywhere they can to advertise their products. Smoke this one, not a cough in a car load, thinking man's filters, some other man's tips, things like this, stay lively, live longer with their beer, all stuff like that. It's an advertisement, and they write it an awful lot on their income tax just for advertisement, and it certainly pays off. So if it pays off for that, I begin to think, why won't Christianity pay off if it's advertised? And I thought, yes, what is advertisement? You got to have something that is a little different from what the rest of them has got, or it's just so common. Like the things of the world, it'll never attract the attention of the people. And if a man would have been looking for an automobile, he would have went past that sign. He'll explain that in just a moment. But he said if he'd have been hungry, he'd have been looking for that sign. So I believe that the Christian is God's billboard, and I believe that each one of us is God's billboard, and we don't have to do so much carrying on about it as we do. Just simply live such a life that it'll make people hungry to be like you. And I wonder, do we ever just stop and look at the way we handle every situation? The way we, whatever it is, there's a lot of situations in everyday life that we have an opportunity to be a little snappy. To maybe speak a little out of turn, maybe a little harsh, and maybe come back at someone a little quicker than we needed to, than to be patient and quiet and just wait on the Holy Spirit. You know, our human nature is just, we're just that way in a human being in the flesh. It's the way the human mind works. Somebody says something, you think you got to reply. And sometimes we don't give the Holy Spirit an opportunity, and we're not conscious of the situation as it's starting to happen around us to give it an opportunity to see what's going to take place. And sometimes we're just oblivious to it. It's just another day in life. We're just another opportunity. We're just doing this thing that I always do. But what if God had that one opportunity happening for a purpose? Is my conscience of my littleness and of why I've been sent here, and that something that I may say, something an action I may do, might attract someone else's attention? You know, it's got to be, everybody says they're a Christian. And you don't have to look far to hear people tell you they're a Christian and they go to church. But they've got to see something different. They've got to see something real that matches up with the scriptures that have been written. As he goes on here, he says, and now he says, so I believe the Christian is God's, I believe it's such a way, drop down here, make people hungry to be like you. Now I noticed this on this billboard, a certain one, they didn't claim anything. It just asked a question. Are you hungry? And you can't sell anybody anything to eat unless they're hungry. And the first thing that advertisement does, the individual passing by has to see it. Now, the only way that the world will ever see Christ is when he or they see it in you and me. That's the only way they'll ever see Christ. Their consciences are numb to the sunsets, to the call of birds, to the leaves, the grass, the flowers, the music, and the message and so forth that we enjoy after we have found Christ. But until we get to a place that we display Christ, now remember that each one of you from tonight on, remember, you are God's billboards and you're God's advertising agent. The world will look at you to see what Christ is. So we don't want to smear a big lot of stuff on there that testify about things we really are not. But let's first be that. And then when we be that, the world will see Christ in you and me. Amen. And all as we gather each and every time in around this precious word, I pray that's the work that it's doing. Every time we come in, we're building and we're growing. And our life should be a greater expression of what Jesus Christ was and what he is till today in you and me. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's your turn. It's my turn to express this same life that was lived in the Bible. If you would, let's turn over to Philippians, the second chapter. You sisters can come to the instruments, if you would. Amen. Philippians 2. Just catch what Paul said here. In Philippians 2, and start that first verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. I want you to think about that. That all may we truly, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He made himself of no reputation. He could have. Many situations, and there's some quotes I could have brought that I didn't bring. But I want you to, maybe this week, maybe in the future, every situation that you face every day, maybe you'll think about it a little different. At the opportunity, you know, sometimes when we get to thinking we're going to go witness to somebody, we've kind of got an idea in our mind who we're witnessing to. We might think, I need to go talk to this person. I really think they need to come to church. I think I need to get them to Christ. But God might put the very person in your path that he's looking to get here, or wherever he's seen him to be. Not so much just bringing them to this building, but getting them to Christ. And how, if we would make sure that every day we're in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, having our minds in tune with the purpose for which we've been sent, and not focusing so much on what's taking place around us in this world, maybe God would be able to use one of us to do something that would bring glory and honor to his name in a little special way. You know, it's not the preachers, all we can do is preach the word. There's a job for that. But off of this platform, every one of us have that opportunity to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. And as Brother Branham always said, if you can't tell them nothing else, just tell them how you got lit. And may they truly see that candle's burning. Amen. Oh, I pray you can take a little something from it, just to meditate on it and think about it. It's every day we face a lot of situations. We've seen a lot of things, but it's so easy as human beings that we add our own thought of how things will happen and how things will go. But Jesus Christ is in control. And in the book of Acts, he added to the church daily such as should be saved. So think about it. He might place you in a bad situation. It may not look too smooth, but if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, the outcome might be amazing. and to the glory of God. Amen. Pray you can get something from it. Lord bless you. Just a little thought for the evening. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. And if you would, let's sing this little song on page 592. In these books. That's in the Only Believe book. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity, the great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the Lord. Let's talk about Jesus. Song, I believe they knew Him in those aspects. Amen. And I believe that every born again, when you sing that, you can identify that He's every one of those things. And oh, it makes my heart glad to know that He's that to me. Amen. Sing just the little first chorus again. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord.
Sometimes people think when they testify to people or you want to bring the Christ, it's always just the nice, clean people you want to talk to. Do we realize how many times our Lord Jesus went to the lowest of the low?
Yeah.
I mean, a little woman at the well, a little woman that's about to stone to death. And even Brother Branham, he talked about that. Remember the hunter, the hunting guy that had the lizard eyes? Just mean and cruel as could be. But yet, just by expressing Christ, He led that man to Christ. Didn't give him a big message. Just lived a life. We're just praying for God to come on the scene. And God child came on the scene. Isn't that sweet?
Amen.
Just think about that so many times. You know, it isn't maybe sometimes who we think it is, but it's who God seen before the foundation of the world, who it is, you see. We're thankful for that. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we appreciate you. I'm just so thankful for the Word of God that you had our brother in your minds back to this evening. And Lord, knowing that maybe tonight yet, or maybe tomorrow, Father, we'll be faced with the situation that, Lord, somebody that's really treating us bad, really just so cruel, Lord, that's the opportunity to let you express and let people see that you are alive. To let you, that person maybe see that there is a true Christian. There is a real, genuine believer. My mind goes back, Lord, too, to the little woman, Father. Her husband was an alcoholic, and he had all his buddies go into the house because he was telling them, you know, his wife was a real Christian. And she had been filled with the Holy Ghost. She was really a born-again daughter of God. And here he tried to get all of his buddies together, and he did, and go in the home and act like they was drunk and hadn't fixed some ham and eggs. And he slammed the plate on the floor and just making a terrible scene. And then what did she do? She apologized to her husband. She didn't fix it the way he wanted it. And she was so sorry, you know. And then she was humming a little song there, Lord, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world be free. Yet, Lord, through all that, she led all those men to Christ. Lord, just by living the life. And it goes to show you, Lord, what our brother was saying. It's something we ought to keep in mind, Lord, and not be hasty and quick to judge and to get back at somebody because of what they've done to us. But Lord, that's the opportunity to express Christ. And it might be the very one that needs to be led to you, Lord. So we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be that people that you can express and live through and do that through us. Pray that you'll bless us now, watch over us, keep us safe on the highways. Lord, again, just bring us back the next day. Should tarry, because Lord, we know it's getting close. Father, help us to be ready and open to receive. We ask it again to your glory and honor in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. It's so good to serve the living God, isn't it? Amen. May God richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.